There's a balance between meditation and prayer that's very important to, I think, very important to understand. But today I would like to talk about prayer and that balance, and I would like to give an understanding of why we would think of prayer as we do. If you were to ask any mainstream religion, if they pray, if they believe in prayer, they will say, of course, absolutely. Prayer is a very important part of our experience. But if you ask them, what do you mean by prayer? What does that mean? There is an assumption that we're all talking about the same thing, that when we say the word prayer, yes, I pray, that we're talking about the same thing. And probably most of us think of prayer as a means of getting God's attention. So we're going to move a little deeper into the layers of why we think of prayer as we do. And the beginning of that process starts with how we see God. The mainstream Christian, for the most part, will see God as an entity that is running this universe, probably a powerful old man that never ages somehow. I don't know how he got old and stopped aging, but somehow he did that. And that God is probably someplace else, like up in the sky or someplace. Hubble has never sent back a picture of him, but so we don't know about exactly where he is. But he's up there someplace. And many religions have always put God out of reach. You know, God was, in the ancient Hebrews, thinking was up on a mountain that was a sacred mountain that was not to be traversed. God's always someplace that we can't reach, and that's why God was put into the sky, I believe, because whoever put him up there assumed we'd never get up there. It's because it was done so long ago. But if you think about, okay, if my God is up in the sky or somewhere else, then my prayer will take on a certain meaning. My prayer will be the process of trying to communicate with that far-off God. So I think of prayer in a way that it might be an activity that there's a lot that I have to align with in order for God to pay attention to my prayer, because God is so far off and so busy. The belief in, the overall belief in mainstream religion is that we're separate from God, and that unity will occur, we will become one with God when we leave this body. If we're lucky, if we don't do the right things, we won't make it to that unity. We won't have that experience. How do I see myself, the one doing the praying? Do I see myself as a miserable sinner? Do I see myself as one born in sin that has to overcome God's reluctance? That's what prayer is to me. Is that how I see prayer? That I pray hoping that God will respond, that I'm worthy of that. So we've got three things going on. We've got the understanding of God, how we're approaching the nature of God. We've got the element of ourself, how we see ourselves, and we've got the element of how we see our relationship to God. Those three things, if you understand how you or anyone else thinks of those three things, you'll understand why they pray as they do, why they think of prayer as they do. You'll understand everything about them. And I call the ones that believe that we are separate from God, I call them, or I call the paradigm, the thought structure that they use to think about God, as a paradigm of separation. my prayer is being uttered in a relationship of separation. So the purpose of my prayer is to somehow communicate with something I'm not in contact with at this moment. Does that make sense? That's how I was taught to pray. You know, you look up to the sky, you bow your head and all that. What are you bowing your head to? You're bowing to an entity that is up there someplace. And it's a sign of reverence or humility. And it's there's a good metaphysical reason for that. But if you're thinking God is an old man in the sky that regrets the day that you were made and or has problems with your behavior, whatever, if you treat God as a person, you're going to pray to God in one way. But if you see yourself as immersed in God, and the illustration I've talked about before and we were talking about this morning prior to the service is this idea that you've got the ocean and you immerse a sponge in that ocean. So how would the sponge pray to the water? Would it need to? What would prayer mean to the sponge that wants to become aware of the water? It'd be a very different thing, because the water is already in the sponge. The sponge doesn't have to say, "Fill me with your presence." The sponge would say, "I am filled with the presence." The sponge would engage in what we call affirmative prayer, not beseeching prayer. "God, please fill me with your presence." The sponge would acknowledge the presence of God is already here. And so it would not ask God to, or ask the water to behave differently. "I'm not worthy of your presence, so, you know, you won't fill me." Well, it's already done. So a person that holds that attitude will pray in a very different way. Prayer becomes an affirmation. It becomes a two-step process. It becomes a denial and affirmation, a releasing and a speaking the truth. I am in the presence of God, and the presence of God is in me. The denial aspect of this would be to release anything that would say this is not true. Because I have a problem in my life, God must not be here. It's a form of logic that we need to let go. That's the denial, the releasing side of prayer. If the sponge says, "I don't feel the presence of God, it's so close, so familiar that I don't feel it," it would begin by releasing that belief system that somehow, because I don't feel it, it's not here. So I let that go. I let go of this sense that God is somewhere else. And I open myself to the presence of God. So any problem I would have then would be a problem of perception. That if I'm trying to get God's attention, I have God's attention already. As a matter of fact, I am God's attention. Does the sponge have to ask for the ocean's attention? There's no place where the ocean leaves off as an ocean and begins as a presence in that sponge. It's all the same. And the sponge, like Jesus, would say, "I am in the ocean, and the ocean is in me, but the ocean is greater." And so we begin with that attitude, and that's why it's so important to experience God, to put meditation first. You can think of it in another water example, that say you want to water a garden. and you have a bucket. We don't usually do that these days because we have irrigation, but just go with this for a little bit. So you want to fill that bucket first so you will have something to give. So you take time to be still and fill the bucket. The bucket is filled. So now the bucket is filled. What are you going to do with that water? Are you going to go pour it over on the weed patch? Or are you going to pour it on the garden? That's prayer. Prayer is making the decision as to where you're going to pour your energy. It's not asking for more water. Because in meditation, you realize you have all the water you need. That presence of God is with you. And that's part of the problem, is we don't do that step. We don't get that firsthand experience, so we feel, I'm lacking. I need God's help, and God's up here someplace or out there someplace. And I have to align myself with that. I have to do something to bring that presence into my life. Well, we don't. We turn on the spigot and fill our bucket. And then we take that bucket, that water, and we pour it where we want. So say you're starting a business and you've got all kinds of issues going on with that business. You've got thoughts, maybe I'm going to fail. That's like your weed patch over here. So do you take your water and you walk over to the weed patch and pour all your attention on that aspect of your life? Fear of failure? Is that what you want to grow? Because that's what prayer is. It's directing your energy towards something. And the water doesn't care where you direct it. It doesn't care where you pour it. Have you ever noticed the weeds are just as happily, they grow just as happily as the tomatoes? I think they're better at it sometimes. But it's like we live in this living thing, this living universe, and whatever we give our attention to grows. That's what grows. And if it's fear, that fear will grow. So it won't do you a lot of good if you have a full bucket of water if you're pouring it on the weed patch. But that is the same exact process of prayer that you use when you sit down to try to make something right. It's exactly the same thing. But it's a negative prayer. It's a negative use of the energy that you have. Okay, so we say God is the source of our supply. What does this mean? Again, think of the sponge in the water. The sponge would say the ocean is my source. Source of the water that's in me. So when we say that, what are we saying? That God is still somewhere far away giving me the things I ask for? Is that my source? Or like the sponge, am I already immersed in the fullness of my source and I don't have to ask for anything? My asking is a process of acknowledging that God is my source. That is a very powerful thought, because when you're afraid, when you're experiencing fear, is that what you're saying? God is my source? Or are you saying to yourself, maybe God is not my source. Maybe there's another thing going on here. Maybe I am smaller than this problem. It's what is going on? Where are we pouring our water? What are we watering? Are we watering the garden or the weed patch? So we say these things, God is my source, very easily. We say this. It's easy to say, and it feels good to say it. But how are we thinking when we say it? Are we thinking, God is my source, and so God will give me the thing I don't have now and solve this problem? Or are we saying it in a way that God is my source, meaning I have all the life, love, power, and intelligence in me, I'm immersed in it, to know what to do and to do it? It's a very different attitude, very different thing. The first is looking at the problem as if I don't have the answer. And the second is to begin with the understanding that I already have the answer. Whatsoever I ask for in prayer, I believe I have received it. That's the sponge saying, yes, I am filled with water. I am in the presence of the ocean now. I don't need to ask for that to be brought in. But the difference between the ocean water and God energy is intelligence. It is inspiration. You know, the breath of the Almighty, that phrase, I really like that phrase because it means the Spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma, P-N-U-M-A. And it means breath. It's the word we use for pneumatic air guns and our pneumatic, you know, this and that, pneumatic brakes. And the breath of the Almighty is breathing in us. You know, we're not talking about water, we're talking about energy. I am immersed in that energy, and I'm taking the energy that I'm given perpetually, and I'm putting it on a weed patch or I'm putting it on a garden. So meditation is the coming into awareness that I'm in this ocean and this ocean is in me. I'm in the presence of God and God is in me. Prayer is directing that knowledge in whatever direction we want to go. If we experience fear, we're directing our prayer in the thing we're afraid of. So we can say no to that. That's denial. Not pretend like it's not there, but deny that energy to upset you. Deny that whole thing to go on in you. Don't let it do that. Hold to what it is you want in life, not what you don't want. Paul talked about praying without ceasing, and I think that's what he meant, that we are praying without ceasing. We're directing this energy someplace. Is it where we want to go? Is it in the direction that is working for us, or is it destroying our peace of mind? And often it is in the ladders, destroying our peace of mind. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that sounds like a sponge-ocean relationship to me. God is spirit. God is that ever-present energy, that water of the ocean. Those who worship him must worship him from that understanding that God is my being. God is the very essence of my being. I am immersed in God. God is immersed in me. So let's get past that problem of getting God's attention, the need to get God's attention. I already have it. So we're shifting from this idea worship in spirit is a shifting from an entity to a presence, the awareness. And again, that's why meditation is so important, to have a firsthand experience. We know what that is. We know what that presence is. And when you sit down to be still with, not with the objective of solving a problem, but with the objective of experiencing the ocean, it touches your mind and soul in a way where you know, as Emily Cady said, you know it's real without question. You just know. And you touch that, and then you take that out into your daily life. It's like a bucket of water. And you start pouring. And where are you pouring this? You're praying without ceasing. What are you praying for? What are you affirming? What are you denying? Every time we are afraid, are we not denying strength? If you fear, are you not denying your power? Every negative emotion that we experience, we're denying our rightful inheritance. And you can say, well, it's perfectly logical that I'm afraid because this thing is so terrible. This thing is so big. I don't know what to do about it. If you're in a place in your life where you don't know what to do, and you're reacting to that, that's a prayer. If you're reacting in fear, that's a prayer. It's not going to hurt anything except you, except your own peace of mind. But the point of a talk like this is to become aware of that, to become aware of what we're doing, how we're denying the very thing that we want. I've talked to many people that said they didn't know what to do in their life, and the more I would talk to them, the more we all came to understand that they knew exactly what they needed to do. They just wanted a different answer. The answer they were getting was too difficult. But it's a lot more difficult not to do it. We usually know what to do. And the struggle we have is we just don't quite know how to do it. So that's a very good place to begin. I do know what to do. And I'll get there. I'll get to the point where I can do it. It's like God doesn't give us things. God inspires us. That's true. You're inspired to see a certain way, to do a certain thing, to feel a certain thing, to say a certain thing, to work with people in ways that maybe are different than from what you've been doing. But you're pouring your bucket of water someplace. And is it a place that you want? Is this the kind of prayer that you want answers to? I think every prayer actually is answered. It's just that what we're calling prayer is worry. Or what we're calling worry is not prayer. We're disconnecting. When you worry, you're praying, in other words. It's a use of energy. It's a direction of energy. You're denying your power and your strength, and you're affirming your weakness. That's a prayer. Denial and affirmation. It's all the same. It's just focused in a different direction. And the trick is to understand you're doing it while you're doing it, and then stop it. Change your prayer. Change the focus. Change the direction. You know, I've compared it to a telescope, looking at the ground or looking in the sky. There's nothing wrong with a telescope because you can't see stars. You just got pointed in the wrong direction. So you point it in the right direction. You say, okay, I'm experiencing this fear, but this is just an energy emotion that I have agreed to allow to be unleashed. I'm pouring my bucket of water. I'm pouring water on this garden, on this weed patch that I don't want. So do I have to keep doing that? Is there anything that says I have to keep doing that? And there's not. That's what prayer is. You can change your mind. It gives you the ability to change your mind, but you have to be conscious of what you're doing. So you're totally immersed in God. How are you using God energy right now? Are you using it to destroy your own peace of mind, or are you using it to open up the doors of inspiration? We have a faculty of imagination that enables us to envision specific things and conditions that appeal to us, and that same imagination, of course, can envision things that don't appeal to us. And we're pretty good at that. That's why I've said we don't really need a devil. You know, we do a pretty good job ourselves. What was that saying on the marquee this morning? When evil hits, hit back, or something like that. That's kind of a good saying. Except they see it as evil is this power that's going to get you. Just slap it around when it shows up. But I'm saying the same thing, but it's change your mind. Bring yourself back into this realization that God speaks to me through inspiration. And if I'm pouring my energy into worry and fear, how can I be inspired? How can I experience the purity of the energy that is God standing at the door of my consciousness right at this moment and knocking? The meditation side of this is important because it strengthens your knowledge that this presence cannot abandon you ever. All you have to do is just, when you're frantic, just sit down, let go, come back to this realization. I am in the presence of God. The presence of God is in me. And stay there until you feel that power, you shift, the shift in your own consciousness. That's what the word prayer means, to make an adjustment. Aramaic slotha, to make an adjustment, or to set a trap. I like to make an adjustment best because that's really what we're doing. The adjustment I'm making is I'm going to stop watering the weeds and I'm going to start watering the garden. That's an adjustment. It doesn't adjust God. It doesn't adjust the water. It adjusts how I'm expressing that. The prayer of purpose is the one that sees clearly a desired objective. Think about a goal that you have for yourself and how you would feel if you just achieved it now. It could be the goal of healing, the goal of success in some area of life, the goal of resolving some personal issue you have with somebody. How would you feel if it was resolved now? And you start those juices flowing. That's the new garden where you're taking your water. It's the one that sees clearly the desired objective, that releases the negative doubts and fears that stand in our way, that stimulates the faith to hold fast and move forward when we're called to act in ways that further our heartfelt aspirations. Prayer is not just sitting down and doing nothing and waiting for some action to occur. You're involved. This is your life. Your life looks like it does because you're in it. It doesn't look like your neighbor's life because you're not in that one. You're in yours. Our life is like a fingerprint, unique to us, each one of us. So we're here. George Eliot made the great observation that God could not make Antonio Stradivarius's violins without Antonio. Those things didn't just pop out. You can imagine what that individual went through to create something like that. Have you, any of you ever made something from scratch? Like a table or a, maybe if you sew or make do crafts or something, to make something from scratch, you know, it just doesn't pop out. You've got to be involved. And every stage that you go through is an expression of your understanding at that moment. So is that where you want to stop? You want to keep going? Antonio Stradivarius didn't stop. He probably made a lot of mistakes. But he came up with an instrument. I don't know anything about violins. I just know I've heard of that all my life. They must be pretty good. I know a little bit about guitars, but he didn't make guitars. God cannot make the world you know is possible without you to bring it forth. So you see the relationship of oneness. You start with that understanding, experiential. And how that unfolds is unique to you. People say, is this right for me? Is this right that I do this? And only you can answer that. But if you're saying, does God think it's right? God doesn't care any more than the water you draw from your spigot cares where you put it. It goes every place. and it's just as fine. Doesn't change its attitude or its nature or anything. It waters the weed just as joyfully as it waters the tomato. So it's not a question of what somebody else or what God wants for you. It's a question of where are you and what do you want? What do you want to express? How free do you want to be? The life you desire is not a thing that is either given or withheld, but a thing you agree to help produce. So do you set a goal for yourself and then allow all the appearances in the world to come and knock you off that goal and say maybe it wasn't meant for me? We all do that. But do we need to keep doing it? Does the sponge ever have to beg or beseech the ocean to fill it? That's what we always have to remember. We come back to that sense of oneness. The prayer of purpose is one that affirms that which you desire is yours now, and your acceptance of this truth opens the mental and emotional doors through which your good may come. And again, that doesn't mean that if you're praying for a thing to happen, that the thing is done, it's there. It means that you are a willing and receptive channel through which that thing can manifest. You get new ideas. You get an inspiration, a vision that allows you to start walking in a certain direction and stay with that until you get there. So do not be discouraged if the manifestation seems slow. Hold fast to your desire. Be willing to work and live with the peace of knowing your good is coming forth now. You see what prayer is? It's locking on to what you want. With every thought and every emotion. And emotion, that's a big word. Because you can think positive and feel like crap. You ever notice that? I can anyway. I don't know if you can. But so does that answer all your questions about what is prayer and how we look at it? Okay. All right. So it's not as difficult. We're doing it all the time. It's not as difficult as we think. It's being conscious. That's what we want to do. Good assignment for this week. All right. Thanks for coming out, and we'll see you next week.